those words, "You are my son or daughter, whom I love." I actually spent some time looking at videos on YouTube of children being told that they were going to be adopted into families. And I decided not to show them because honestly, I just howled through each and every one. And as much as I enjoy making all of you cry, I decided possibly not this morning. There was one where the lady who was adopting a four-year-old boy went in to meet him for the first time. This was prior to that adoption being finalized. And he walked up to her and said the words, "Hi, Ever Mummy." And she said that was that. Those words of belonging and attachment are the deepest heart cry that we need to hear. You are my child. You are my child. I love you. This one is mine. This one belongs to me. There is such protection and covering in that that we all need at such a deep level. Our identities are largely forged at a young age in our families. So children who have experienced foster care may find that formation difficult. I spoke to a number of families in the course of preparing this talk this morning, to a number of adoptive parents and adoptees. And one said, "Every child adopted from foster care has suffered trauma already. They have been removed from their home and all that they know at least twice before they even come to you." So what's the connection with baptism this morning? Spiritually speaking, we are all looking for our home. We are all looking to come home, to hear those words of belonging and affirmation. You are my child, whom I love. You are my son. You are my daughter. The Israelites had a very strong sense of identity. They knew who they were. They were children of Abraham. They were rooted in a clear bloodline with a clear family and a clear distinction. King David, of course, is from this family line and goes on to become an heir of Jesus. This is the bloodline of God. But by the grace of God and by the cross, each and every one of us can be adopted into this family. By grace, we are his children, whom he loves. The most sensational of all the Christmas readings, which is why I shamelessly steal it at the carol service every single year, is John 1. I want to read a short bit of it, and I invite you just to savor the power in these words as I do. "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." As we believe in him, we have the right to become children of God. There were two main groups of people in Scripture, the Jews and the Gentiles. And if you are here this morning and you are not of Jewish descent, you are a Gentile, scripturally speaking, and I include myself in that, of course. So how do we, as Gentiles, know that we are welcome into the family of God, into that bloodline? Well, we need only look at the person of Jesus and the lengths that God was willing to go to rescue us and to invite us into his family. Really quick show of hands. Has anyone here ever researched their family tree? Or has anyone in your family researched your family tree? There we go, loads more hands gone up. Did you find a few surprises along the way? We discovered that my family name actually isn't Walker, which was something of a surprise. The genealogy of Christ in Matthew is no different. Christ's family tree had a fair few surprises. For a start, there are five women listed in the genealogy of Christ, which in those days is of staggering significance and speaks about the role of women in Scripture, but that is another sermon for another day. Very, very briefly, Tamar, a Gentile guilty of incest, punishable by death by stoning. Rahab, a Gentile and a sex worker. Ruth, a Gentile and yet becomes King David's grandmother. Bathsheba, a Gentile, guilty of an affair with King David. Mary, unmarried, pregnant, peasant girl, mother of our Lord and Savior. A few surprises in that family tree. Next time you feel unworthy of the love of God, next time you feel perhaps you don't belong, think of those five women and perhaps how much they at times did not feel worthy or that they belonged. And yet there they are in Christ's family tree. Jesus came for them and he came for me and he came for each and every one of you. Paul writes to the Romans, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You received a spirit of adoption. And by him, you cry, Abba, Father. There is a history to all our adoptions. God orchestrated something in our lives that brought about our turning to faith, brought about our turning to grace, a conversation with someone, an inspirational person that you admire, perhaps the Alpha Course, who knows, but you heard the gospel, you heard the grace and the good news of Jesus at some point, and you, or perhaps you haven't yet, but in the process of turning towards that grace. And as we do that, we gain a new legal standing. As a child does when they are adopted, they gain a new legal standing in society as the debt that we all owe is transferred onto Christ. And we are made free in him. We receive, as that happens, we receive a spirit of adoption. We are his children whom he loves. Paul says to Ephesians, God chooses us in him and predestines us to be adopted in Christ. We are bought in through the grace and love of Christ to the family of God. We are no longer wandering and rootless without an identity. We have a family tree. We know where we belong and we know that we are loved. And there is a chosenness in this that kind of blows my mind, and I don't articulate it well, so bear with me. But there is no evolutionary instinct in adoption. There is no oxytocin which surges through you when a woman gives birth. There is no chemical reaction here. There is something that is so Christ-like and extraordinary in this active choice to love, a love that is so great within an adoptive parent that it has to pour out. When I put on social media last night that I was speaking on spirit of adoption this morning, a mum who is in the process of adopting got in touch and said, I never knew I could be so in love with someone I had never met. That kind of love just blows my mind. And that is the love that God has for each and every one of us. So, as I said, I spoke to lots of adoptive families in the course of preparing for today, and one said, we believe our child was chosen for us by God. For a long time, we prayed about adopting. It is the best decision we ever made. You can hear the love in that quote. It is deep, it's personal, it's real, it's intimate. You can hear it. By him, we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is so personal. It means daddy, more literally translated. It is an intimate and an experiential love. And the Father cries over each and every one of us, you are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love. By grace, we have all the benefits and all the legal security of adoption into the family of God. Another mum said, I'm not a martyr and I'm not a saint. I'm not providing a public service. I am a parent. And I love the certainty in that statement. This isn't up for negotiation. This is who she is. She is a parent. This is what I do. I am a mum and I love. This is what I do. And that is the voice of God over each and every one of us. Yet with him, it is, this is who I am. This is who I am. I am God and I love on each and every one of you. I asked this mum a little bit about the process of adopting her children, and she told me that they had received a file with two photographs and some information, and she said this: "We said yes right away. We knew from their files that we could be their parents. To be honest, they were just adorable, and they deserved all the love and security we could give them. When we first met them, we could hear them through the door. He was babbling and tottering around, and she was an articulate little thing who was very clearly going to be the boss of the household. This is how God sees us, deserving of his love in Christ. Because of Jesus, we are deserving of a parent's love." She goes on, "One was very suspicious, and the other was full of cuddles. We were ecstatic and certain that this was the right fit for us. They were funny and brave and strong, and we loved them immediately." I went on to ask her what it was like when they finally came home, and she said, "Terrifying and amazing. To go from no children to two overnight was scary. They were 1 and 2 years old, and the realization that they were now our responsibility was terrifying, but our flat became a family home. Our flat became a home. There was something in those parents that was completed when their children came home because their love was now poured out onto another. God is love. And by definition, that love cannot stay within himself. He is Trinity. It has to pour out. It is simply ours to say yes to receiving it. But love, as we know, comes at a cost. Another mum spoke about the minefields in places you don't expect, the Disney movies that always depict missing parents, the school projects on family trees, the publishing of your children's photographs on the school website, despite lengthy conversations about the need to keep them safe. A child who struggles to make connections because of those she has lost in the past, and another who will befriend anyone and has no boundaries with strangers. That line really hit me about struggling to make connections because of those you have lost in the past. And I think so many of us bring that brokenness when we come to our relationship with God. We struggle to believe that he just loves on us. And there is a process of those walls coming down that we engage in as we are filled with the Spirit again and again. You can hear the voice of God in what she is saying. "The greatest gift," she says, "is my children. Adoption is by far the best thing I have ever done." You hear that love? That's the love of the Father for each and every one of us. Because of the cross, he gets you and me. It's the best thing he has ever done. Parenting is beautiful and joyful and deeply costly. But God loved us enough to pay that cost and to be our parents. The ultimate cost was on the cross. God chooses to love us because he is love and he doesn't know how else to be. That is the person that he is. And we are adopted into his family through baptism because of the blood that Jesus spilled for each and every one of us. We are heirs and co-heirs with Christ, and by him we know we are home as we cry, "Abba, Father." Amen.